of 42, the wind from the south at 5 to 10. Wednesday, mostly sunny and warmer, look for a high of 72, the wind from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly cloudy with a low Wednesday night in the low 50s and the high Thursday in the low 70s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana, most for the most part in the 50s. At Rockford, light rain was reported, 47 degrees there. Elsewhere, cloudy in Chicago, 53, at Bloomington, 51, in Mattoon, 54, in Carbondale, it was 59 degrees. 58 degrees at South Bend and Lafayette at the top of the hour, and in Indianapolis and Terre Haute, it was 61 degrees. Cloudy sky at Willard Airport at the top of the hour, 53 degrees, the relative humidity 71%, the dew point 44, the wind out of the west at 31 with gusts to 38, the barometric pressure 29.94 and rising, and at 12:38, 54 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois.
You depend on WILL for comprehensive news and information programs, and these programs are made possible by contributions from listeners just like you. In fact, listener support is the single largest source of funding at WILL. During our spring fundraising drive, we are encouraging 1,100 listeners who value WILL's programming to call in with a pledge of financial support or contribute online right now at willpledge.org. Thanks so much.
Research at the University of Illinois suggests physical activity can boost cognitive health. To test that theory, one Champaign middle school recently added exercise equipment to its classrooms. As part of our series on efforts in the region to increase health and wellness, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers visited Jefferson Middle School to find out how students there are staying fit during the school day.
Eleven-year-old Marcelon Mosley walks on a treadmill in the assistant principal's office at Jefferson Middle School in Champaign.
I don't want to be a winner. I don't like being a loser.
Have you ever been a loser before?
No.
And never, ever, will, ever, going forward, you'll never be a loser, correct?
Maybe.
This kid is as cool as a cucumber. He's very calm and shows very little emotion, but he admits he isn't always that way. Mosley says there have been times when he's reacted strongly to other kids' comments about him or just hasn't felt motivated enough to keep up with his schoolwork. So when the school began adding the exercise equipment, his teachers thought it might be easier for him to relax and focus by getting on a treadmill a few times each week. Mosley determines the speed based on his level of anger. Right now he's walking 2 miles per hour, but when he's in a really bad mood, he may double it.
When it goes faster, it calms me down. Because I have so much energy. I just want to break somebody's neck or something. And then I just use up my energy walking on the treadmill.
Mosley started using the treadmill about 3 times a week for about 30 to 45 minutes. And he admits he's doing a better job now controlling his anger. His mom, Cheryl Moore, has even noticed a difference in his behavior. She credits that not only to the exercise, but also to what she and school officials are doing to hold her son accountable when he misbehaves.
I think that it's just kind of like a coalition, basically with the parents and the teachers working together. What's the famous saying? It takes a village to raise a child. There we go.
About 2 months after meeting Mosley at Jefferson, I caught up with him again at his home with his mother by his side. The cool-as-a-cucumber kid has a huge smile on his face, and he appears to be bursting with energy.
When I have a smile on my face, I'm always happy and I want to have a good day.
Well, when I saw you at school, I didn't see a smile.
That's because I was mad that day, I think.
Mosley, along with 5 of his other siblings, all have ADHD, and he's one of 2 of them currently medicated for it. His mother hopes to get him off of it by the time he's in high school, but not if that compromises his performance in the classroom.
He's very overwrought, and we try to, like, let him do lots of exercise as much as he wants to. He just has tons of injuries.
Can I go to my brother's friend's house with him?
Yeah, if you're not grounded, are you? Oh, your dad, I'm grounded.
From
the TV game? You better go double check with your dad. They do that, too. He's on the highest milligram dosage out of all of our kids right now because he is the most hyper. So he just has a lot of energy. It's like the wild in his eyes, you know. When he acts like that, we know. We're like, you need to go outside and play a lot more.
Students like Marcelon Mosley seem to benefit from the exercise equipment brought to Jefferson Middle School by University of Illinois professor Charles Hillman. Hillman says there's a positive relationship between physical activity and cognitive health. Hillman teaches kinesiology and community health at the U of I, and he's already explored this connection with pre-adolescents, young adults, and older adults. After approximately 1 hour of exercise, he found that these age groups showed improvements in cognition and achievement.
What's good for children is good for young adults. What's good for younger adults is good for older adults. You know, I mean, being healthy and exercising and having a higher level of fitness relates to better brain health and better cognition. And so because of that, I believe that we need to act early.
Now Hillman is doing that same research, but this time with middle school students.
Puberty changes a lot of things. It changes body, it changes hormone production, and it changes brain. And so it's interesting to see during a time when kids are actively going through puberty what these relationships are between fitness or health factors such as body mass and cognition and achievement.
Hillman and U of I psychology professor Neil Cohen are studying students at Jefferson over a 3-year period. They believe that being overweight may affect parts of the brain associated with attention, memory, and cognition. As part of their research, Jefferson Middle School agreed to install exercise equipment around the school. Aerobic balls in classrooms, Marcelon's treadmill, and bikes in the library. In the school library, students take turns riding on the exercise bikes. Librarian Kim Anderson says it's a challenge identifying ways the library can support students other than through literacy, which is why when she first heard about the school's exercise initiative, she jumped at the idea.
They are actually reading while they're working out. And we also have a couple of iPads that we have set up so that they Velcro right onto the stationary bike so they can flip through and either read a book online or work on one of the educational apps.
Some of the eighth graders I spoke to in the library say 30 minutes of physical activity during gym class isn't enough to stay active during the school day. Student Paige Ducharme says getting more exercise has helped her concentrate.
Because you get your brain moving, like, not really moving, but, like, you get more energy inside of you, so you find yourself awake more and more energized to be able to, listen and make your brain function more.
Students using the exercise equipment is part of Principal Susan Zola's larger vision. She also plans to transform the school's multi-purpose room into an exergaming room, where students can be exposed to a combination of games and exercise. In the space, Zola envisions being able to grab a heart monitor and do a cross-country virtual tour in the mountains.
Wellness and students' well-being and where they land in terms of their healthy living impacts us all in the future. So the stronger they are in terms of their hearts, their spirits, their minds, their academics, the stronger citizens, the stronger community members, the healthier our community will be as a whole.
While Marcelon Mosley and Paige Ducharme are physically fit, Zola says there are students at Jefferson who do battle their weight and other related health issues. Zola believes physical activity should be a priority for all students, even those who just want to work up a sweat. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
To see a video of the exercise equipment at Jefferson Middle School in action, visit willconnect.org. Our media engagement initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation. It's 12:46. Organizers of a protest march during next month's NATO summit in Chicago are adding a powerful voice to their ranks. Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. is throwing his weight behind the march. That's after supporting a 1999 NATO bombing campaign of Serbian forces. Chip Mitchell spoke with Jackson and began by asking for his take on the march's importance.
Our world has become jilted by a war. There's simply too much violence, too much concentrated wealth, and too much poverty. I hope on May 20th there will be a large demonstration, and if it's nonviolent and disciplined and focused, our agenda will be heard. The Iraq war, some say that $1 to $3 trillion. The wrong target and the wrong war. $1 trillion could wipe out every state budget deficit today. Put teachers and police and firemen back to work. Revive our public sector. We must choose to go another way.
You've supported NATO military action in the past. For example, in 1999, as Serbian forces were attacking Albanian civilians in Kosovo, NATO started a bombing campaign. This is during the Clinton administration. And on MSNBC, you said, quote, Slobodan Milosevic is wrong and NATO is right. Our troops must be supported and they are on the right side of history.
So, well, there are times we are on the right side of history. I also went to Kosovo and made a plea to Milosevic and brought Americans home from prison there. It seems that we've become progressively more militaristic and our budget is jilted. In the meantime, we have this radical growth of poverty and illiteracy, and this gap between the have and the have-nots is driving us into a new era of real polarization. It's time to go another way. That's my point.
I'm thinking a big protest during a NATO summit in the president's hometown, a protest backed by an internationally known civil rights leader like you, that could be embarrassing to President Obama on the international stage.
I think that is ridiculous, I must say. This is not about the hometown. It's about America and the world and its commitment to expanded military powers over against wiping out poverty and disease and fighting for drinkable water and fighting for a safe environment. This is not designed to embarrass the president. It's designed to appeal to all leaders of the world to choose to depend less on military intervention and more on negotiation and try to heal these societies that are so ravaged by poverty and so ravaged by internal strife.
I want to ask the same question about the domestic audience. A big protest backed by Reverend Jesse Jackson, could it not discourage African Americans and liberals from actively supporting the president just as his reelection campaign is gearing up?
It should not. President Obama has made some significant strides in these 3 years. One, there were 100,000 soldiers in Iraq. They're home now. We were facing the automotive industry had collapsed. It is back again. We look at 4 years later, there are reasons to support this president, as a matter of fact. So it's not about embarrassing him. It's about getting his and the world's attention.
Reverend Jesse Jackson, Sr., he spoke with Chicago Public Radio's Chip Mitchell.
And here is the writer's almanac for Monday. It's the 16th of April, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist who wrote, "If you can't annoy somebody, there is little point in writing." Kinsley Amos, born in London, 1922, made it big when he was 32 with his first novel, Lucky Jim, written after a visit to his good friend, the poet Philip Larkin, who worked at University College Leicester. The story of Jim Dixon, a young professor of medieval history, nice university, disgusted by the pretentious academics all around him. Kingsley Amos wrote more than 20 novels, including That Uncertain Feeling, Take a Girl Like You, Ending Up, The Old Devils, a memoir, essays, and several books about drinking. He said the human race has not devised any way of dissolving barriers, getting to know the other chap fast, breaking the ice, that is one-tenth as handy and efficient as letting you and the other chap cease to be totally sober at about the same rate in agreeable surroundings. It's the birthday of the novelist Anatole France, born Paris, 1844, author of Penguin Island, who said, "The books that everybody admires are those that nobody reads." And it's the birthday of Carol Bly, born in Duluth, Minnesota, 1930, author of The Tomcat's Wife and other stories, and Changing the Bully Who Rules the World. Here's a poem for today by Marge Piercy, entitled The Good Old Days at Home, Sweet Home. On Monday, my mother washed. It was the way of the world. All those lines of sheets flapping in the narrow yards of the neighborhood, the pulleys stretching out second and third floor windows. down in the dank, steamy basement, washtubs vast and gray, the wringer sliding between the washer and each tub. At least every year she or I caught a hand in it. Tuesday my mother ironed. One iron was the mangle. She sat at it, feeding in towels, sheets, pillowcases. The hand ironing began with my father's underwear. She ironed his shorts. She ironed his socks. She ironed his undershirts. Then came the shirts, a half hour to each, the starch boiling on the stove. I forgot bluing. I forgot the props that held up the line clattering down. I forgot chasing the pigeons that shit on her billowing house dresses. I forgot clothespins in the teeth. Tuesday, my mother ironed my father's underwear. Wednesday, she mended darned socks on a wooden egg, shined shoes. Thursday, she scrubbed floors, put down newspapers to keep them clean. Friday, she vacuumed, dusted, polished, scraped, waxed, pummeled. How did you become a feminist? Interviewers.